Matt Bambrick is on the podcast this week, live from LA in America, after he kitted out his association with decks of match play cards. Matt shares the impact of supporting parent coaches with match play cards and why games will always be the winner for players at training. Keep sharing the podcast with your friends and be sure to tag us on social media next time you use match play cards in your session. On to the pod.
Matt, welcome to the podcast. How does someone from the north of England end up in California? It's me here, like, what's the connection? How do we all end up where we are?
I came out to the States. I was at university. It was my second summer after, and it was following my first summer. I wanted to do something more than just sit around at home. My friend wanted to do the summer camp thing, so I followed his sort of lead and signed up for camp leaders, went to a fantastic camp in Pennsylvania called Trails End with a half an idea of maybe coaching is something I want to get into. I was at university doing computer science and did the standard UK coaches thing of volunteered everywhere as much as I could with a community interest company, working with at-risk kids coming out of juvie or homeless at the time. Worked in Villa's Foundation, worked in West Brom's Foundation, had multiple uniform changes in the back of my little Renault Clio a few times a day, and then saw an opportunity to move to the state and came to the autumn of 2020 and decided I've got to go and do something. I've got a choice to make. Do I want to go back into the club program and go and do that, or do I feel like I'm at a point to go and make something for myself in somewhere that I'm heavily interested and engaged with, in the grassroots programming in particular, sort of your first steps, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 year olds. So that started SoCal Youth Sports Solutions, the longest youth sports name ever, but it seemed to fit at the time. And yeah, it sort of brings us to here in terms of meeting you just through Twitter and being busy on Twitter and looking for new ideas, looking to develop the ideas, what I've already had and developed through working with other people, through doing a degree for a couple of years as well, and just trying to create an environment, create an experience for the kids that's varied, that's engaging and enjoyable, and most importantly about them and being child-centered, and the cards fit into that, the match play cards fit into that perfectly.
Yeah, wicked. I think Rob Williams was probably somewhere in that journey of connecting between us two as well.
Yeah, massively. It was the summer last year it was, I got a call to work with a program, AYSO, out here in Burbank. They were looking for a change in provider, and I was building a program where it was going to be not us physically doing the coaching, but trying to support the volunteer parent coaches in this is what we look for in when we're doing our sessions. It's not about isolated technique and going in and out of cones and all the old school stuff I'm sure a lot of people grew up with and attribute that to what coaching is, and to try and do it through games. And I think the best way to, one of the best ways we managed to achieve some of that is using the cards as a form of coach education, as well as giving the kids a base of what good coaching is, what a good atmosphere and environment is for the kids to play in. And Rob was massive behind that. I hadn't led a program like this on my own without the support of others around me before. And I wanted to scrape every bit of knowledge, use every friendship and relationship I had online or through the people I knew. And Rob was at Warsaw at the time. And I think he just started the academy manager role. And it's just like, the cards are fantastic. Even with our older kids, coaches have them in the pockets, whip it out, give it to a kid, let them play. There's more variability, there's more value in the cards than what it could take a coach to take 2-3 minutes to explain a game. He's very instrumental behind that.
Yeah, so let's start maybe a bit further along the journey. So you get one deck of cards and you give them a go. What is that first experience like? What do you remember from that first time using them?
From the kids, the first thing, and again, probably the biggest seller of it all, the kids are excited to see something different and new, as kids do, but then the excitement to finish one of the matches we play. So we play what I call nano soccer and what we're trying to build here. Sort of 1v1, 2v2. If they're in a 1v1, they're still in a team and they're building their goals and their scores together. But you can still, especially using the cards, build that team element to it. So building those scores. But yeah, it's the excitement of the kids of finishing a game after 3 or 4 minutes and then coming back. Can we pick the next card? Can I pick the next card? What's the next card? What does that mean? And it's sort of built from there. And the kids sort of were given the task and understood the task, needed a bit of help here and there, but their enthusiasm, their energy about wanting to use them. And it's usually one of the first things they'll ask for when they come to the sessions. Again, it keeps me out of the way, so they have to stop trying to understand my accent. But I think the big part of it is it sounds stupid, but they're tangible. There's something to hold on to, but it's them owning the game as well, which is cool for them. And then from there, after seeing how the first sessions went, how summer camps with them went, we dedicated about 4 or 5 complete afternoons to the kids just wanting to play the cards. And thought, right, this definitely fits. It works with us. How else can we use it? And this is the time I was building into our mentoring program with AYSO. Excuse me. with AYSO. And you could put it in a few ways, as a life flow or a support system for the coaches, for us as mentors going in. We bought so many packs of cards because we could firstly give them that life support if they needed it. We've all been there, sessions going awful, my initial idea is not working, or the kids are just having one of those days. You can stop, you can go and play a game, you can go play your normal game, and then you can introduce the cards as well. And I think for volunteer parents that are coming in, some of them are doing it just because they needed the coaches to fill a team, which is a standard story in most youth soccer leagues in the US. It gives them at least a bit more of an advantage than giving them a 200-page book of drills. They've got 20, 30 cards, which then we could load for whatever learning outcomes we wanted for the kids or were designing for the kids. We can load the decks that the coaches are having. They've got 5, 6, 7 options and they can go from there. And again, the kids get a base of what is fun and enjoyable and what keeps them engaged in the game. For the coaches, they don't have to sweat and stress over what they're delivering to the kids. And for us, we then get to drop a breadcrumb here and there of this is what we're looking for here. This is an idea here. This is where you can go from here and really get to the crux of what we're really trying to do with coaching. Again, not the dribbly stuff or the technical stuff. It's how do we develop these ideas and the understanding with the kids.
Yeah, and I think the parent coach becomes even more skillful and more self-aware when they have a physical resource in their hand, because I say this to every single coach that gets the deck of cards. You'll open it up and you'll think, I see this scenario in that kid, or I see this kid in that card, and that I need to give this card to the kid that's, you know, that Matt kid, he's standing at the back, he's not doing anything, or there's Jack over there and he's running wild, doesn't really know where he is. And there'll be a card in there that you'll give to them. And it's the problem that we want to solve is actually, here's something you can go and give to that kid that doesn't disrupt everybody else's game. But that individual's game is almost their own game within a game. To then go and play as you go. Just take us through those 4 afternoons when you use them on the camps. What did that look like?
So the initial thing was we had a very small camp. So I think there was about 6 or 7 for this 1 week. So we do sort of your standard games and bits and pieces in the morning. Then the second half, we were always going to do some sort of game or World Cup. But obviously with 6, limited with numbers, you're limited with the heat as well. There's only so much time the kids can play at one time. So the way we worked it was we had variations in the formats we were going to play in terms of like a World Cup. They were going to play individually, they'd have team games, but then for each of the games they go into, they either pull a card as a 1v1 as an individual, or they pull a card as a team. And then they have to go away and talk about what they have to go and do, if they can hit certain things with the cards. it was just really giving them the ownership of keeping the game fresh, keeping the game varied, keeping it interesting, and keeping them engaged. Again, like you were saying, it's giving them something where they feel like they're in charge. It's not the adult in the room sort of telling us what to do. As the adult, you had to let the reins go a little bit, but we just put them on top of the water cooler, pulled it out like it was go fish. The kids, whatever card it was, always got really excited. And then the kids were coming up with different ways of scoring. The one day was using sort of a bingo card. One way was just normal points and things like that, trying to achieve different things. It was lively. And I think everyone's been there, especially when you've got a hot week. You're at camp, you're in day 3 or 4, nerves are getting pressed. But then when you've got an atmosphere at a camp where, again, it's lively, the kids are engaged, they're excited to do the next thing. It doesn't feel like a drag. It's a massive difference from where you could be. And again, it doesn't have to come from the coach or the individual. It comes from the kids, and the kids can drive it, which is great. It was just that feeling. I said when I started the program, when you walk and you should see one of our sessions, you should be able to put it next to a traditional class that happens here in particular. And you should be able to feel the difference. You should be able to just look at it, to hear it and feel it being different. And that went a long way to sort of achieving that goal for us.
Noise is such a good indicator or good feedback tool for how good a session, I think, is. If it's dead silent, it normally says a lot about the players, because the coach is normally the one talking. Whereas if it's the players talking, that normally says a lot about the coach and the environment that's been created. I've just wrote down two different things here. So when we went to West Ham, when they use the cards, they kind of do something around kind of Dutch doubles, and it's going to cumulatively score over a period of weeks. So the same players will keep the scores on different teams using the card, and that adds up over a period of time. Compared to Crystal Palace, who use them in the foundation phase, would be kind of a games night. So once a week, there's always a games night, and it's a bit more gamification. It's the secret missions of the cards. It might be Matt's team's got a card, but Jack's team hasn't. Can they work out what's going on? Or we're going to play 3 lots of 5 minutes, and it's a different card every single 5 minutes. So just that idea of always finishing with a game at a certain period throughout the week, I think, really just sets up the players really nicely. You've spoken about a little bit of maybe the differences between the UK and America, but when you got the set of cards and then we came back and we got 10 sets, I think, for all the other coaches, how did you introduce that to a much wider context? Because you bought them knowing why you wanted to, but how did you then share that with the wider club and the association?
So it was small and soft at first. It was a small bit here and there. So I think the advantage we really had as well is we were coming in fresh with our own ideas into AYSO in particular, and meeting these coaches. We didn't know anybody. We were going into a new region. We had no background with any of these people. They had very little to no understanding of what we are, which is slightly daunting. But it's a blank canvas, so we could sort of go and test and try and experiment with different things. So like I said earlier, in the initial weeks, a lot of the sessions were around just introducing the ideas of what we're looking for in a coaching session. One of the comments that was made to us when we started this program is that a coach used to go in, he'd run the session, he'd teach the parent one game, and then the parent coach would never see that coach again. And that is the end of it. And that is something we definitely didn't want. It's that it's the give a man a fish, give a man a fishing rod. They're very different things. And we wanted to give the coaches a fishing rod. We wanted to give them not just one session, but a pack of ideas that they can go and play and use. So like I said, we reloaded some of the sessions with certain cards in particular that we knew that for the parents that were coming in who might have a limited understanding of what soccer is or how soccer's played outside of those techniques, to be able to get those easy wins, if that makes sense for us. So small, silly things like even the tennis ball card, really small, very tangible. But for the kids, you get that excitement, you get that noise coming from the kids. Oh, how are we going to play with this? what we're going to do here, which was great. But then the coaches can see and then bounce off how the kids are going with the card. And then the kids bounce off what the card's doing, how much they enjoyed it. And it's a continuous cycle of what's the next thing? How else can we use this? What else? So we definitely loaded it. We definitely went for the easy wins in terms of trying to educate. And then as the weeks went on, we can sort of develop the ideas. We can get away from the individual. We break our program down between the age groups of me, developing we, developing us. So different cards in different contexts make different bigger differences. But then, like you were saying, with some of the secret missions of kids, the Dream Team card is one they all liked that we've used before in terms of if they're in a team of three, whether it's 3v3 or 1v1, keep it secret who the Dream Team card is. And then the other team have either got to figure it out, and then you can have a flip and reverse. So if Jack's got the card and his opponent figures it out that Jack's got the card, once he's done that, the card sort of flips over back to him as well as an idea. So there's different ways, but then that comes from the kids as well. That sort of, well, if I figure out who it is, what happens next? What's the consequence? So it was slow. It was very, we try to think it out as much as we can. And then the extra offer we had was we offered a coach's coffee club on a Wednesday afternoon, I think it was, and the coach, if they needed support, they wanted some extra education, they wanted some help or just some extra ideas, could come in, sit with us in sort of a non-formal setting. I get the cards out and sort of go through the whiteboard, use the laptop and just sort of go through. You can just do this one game, but these are the hundreds of ways you can adapt it and change it. You only need a small pack of ideas. And then the constraints or the different progressions, however you wanted to put it, would go sell themselves.
Yeah, and we purposely did that in a way of, you know, we didn't put team challenge on the grey cards and the player challenge on the white, because it's not our job to say this is the only way you can use them. Here's 50, 100 cards, but actually here's 1,000 different ways to use them. And you know the players better than me and than us at the coaching lab. And I always say a few things to coaches when we do kind of a wider, you know, club package. And sometimes it's just play, just give it a go. You know, like you mentioned there, the kids will drive and take it in a journey that sometimes you didn't expect. And sometimes it will go in the journey you expect. And that's totally fine. The other one I always say is just reflect on the impact. So, okay, I'm going to give a card to Matt, but it's an individual card, but I'm going to really reflect on why I gave it to him, when I gave it to him, and how. You know, did I give it to him in front of the whole group? Did I give it to him when he was getting a drink, so no one really knew he had that card? And then the other one was show me, you know, so like that coach's coffee club situation. It might be I'd ask the coaches, show me a card to support player X, or show me a card that would challenge player Y. And I would very, very cautiously not say too much until they pick a card, because they are thinking why they're going to pick that card, because they know the player. And I think that's a really good space to be in.
Definitely. I think the one we use quite a lot here, what we've done going into the new season is we've tried to format a completely different league in the spring. So instead of playing 6v6, the kids are playing U8s are 1v1 into two goals. U10s are 1v1 with goalkeepers, and then 2v2, 3v3 for the 12s and 14s. But for the U8s in particular, because they're playing 1v1, you can have a huge variability of where the kids are in terms of they've played before, they've not played before. And there's a couple cards in there in particular that really help for the kids. Number one, to grow a little bit of an understanding of what we're getting at. So the one I like to use with them is the touchdown card. So I think the card says if you touch the ball whilst the other person's got it, it's an instant free kick to you. So you're doing two things there. You're getting some defensive principles in. To get the touch on the ball, they've got to get close to the ball. To get a touch on the ball, they've probably got to make contact with the other person as well, which is important. And then it's the idea of, and then you can develop the ideas of how to go and steal the ball later. With that, you're pulling out a lot with just a little, but it's all relative and real to the game. You're not having to force something out of normality, and you can start developing those ideas. And again, being purposely ambiguous, I suppose, is one way of putting it, being broad enough that people can apply their own context to them is really important.
Yes, we could. Before we wrap up, maybe give us some top tips on this interaction and interventions with the card. So the cards are the intervention, but what is the coach's interaction, and what's that look like for you and the coaches you've worked with?
So I think for us in particular, because we're working with mainly newcomers and the younger kids, is observations the most important part, the first part to it. Can you step back and watch without being in the session? Firstly, the kids don't want you in there. But secondly, if you're not observing, you can't think about those interactions. Then you can go and make some conscious decisions about what you're going to do next. Again, with the touchdown example, that one's an easy one to see, because you can see a kid who is stronger than another kid, and you can go and you can fix the card deck if you want and still keep that fun and surprise within it. But then the challenge for the coaches is then with the cards, and going back to your point, having a point and a purpose to them, are they able to watch and observe what's going on? They have to pick out some ideas of how can we push and stretch your kid further one way, or how can we push and develop a kid that, to catch up to some of us, getting the kids' involvement. Kids are a lot more fun than what adults are. We have all that creativity and imagination driven out of us between one thing and another. So the kids' input into the cards take it to another level as well, which we found really important, just the small little tweaks here and there.
Yeah, there's two challenges I always set coaches around the interaction. And one is, can you add a card into the game without stopping the game? You know, you don't need to stop a game for 5 minutes to talk about a card that's got maybe one or two sentences max on it. So can you give a player challenge or a team challenge without stopping the whole game? And then the other one is to play around with the amount of time from when I give you a card to when we play the game. So if I give you the card and it's 30 seconds from that moment I give you the card to when we play, that's going to challenge the players to talk very quickly and organize on the run, compared to if you have 5 minutes, you're going to come up with probably a fairly strict and complex game plan. You know, so play around with that time from when you get the card to when you play.
No, definitely. Again, and their interpretation with that as well. You got 30 seconds. I'm not going to tell you anything. You go and make of it what you will, and then we'll reflect on it afterwards. How did it feel? What did it mean you had to do? How did it make you think? And I think that's the crux to all of it. Can you make the kids think as they're playing and keep them at the centre of everything we're doing?
Yeah, and it's interesting. There's always a flip side to the card. So like the dream team around the amount of passes, okay, yes, that's in possession, but the team that don't have that card, it's, well, can you intercept because they're going to be passing the ball more? Or, you know, how do you set up your press? Is it going to be a little bit more zonal because you can intercept? You know, so there's always a flip side to the card as well, which sometimes you wouldn't necessarily think of when you add that card in. But I always say to coaches, be aware of, okay, what is the consequence for the other team and the other players?
Yeah, definitely. And if you're solid in your reason of why the card's there or what the card is as well, there's unintended consequences with everything. But if you're clear in the reasoning of what you're doing and why you're doing it, that it sort of negates it a little bit as well. And again, it adds to the chaos of what the game is. If there's a kid thinking of another way around it, that's fantastic. That's exactly what we want to prod and provoke out of them. It's problem solving. It's making sense out of insanity at times.
Yeah. Matt, look, fantastic to have you on the podcast. It's super cool that a little deck of match play cards to travel all the way across the world to Los Angeles, and hopefully one day I can be there and soak up a bit of the sun and a bit of the vibe as well. But love your work, incredibly grateful, and the kids and the parents definitely are as well, to have such game loving coaches that want the best for the coaches but also want the best environment for the kids. So love your work and thanks so much for getting involved.
No worries, Jack. Thanks for having me. Really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed the cards.